Hey, my name's Zenu, and you're listening to Anti-Moon Boy News. Merry Christmas, everybody. I took last week off. I probably should have announced that. I was just thinking, like, I never actually tweeted out that I was taking the episode off. But I did for the holiday week. Hope you guys had a great Christmas. And we got a lot to talk about. We're going to be going over the latest with the Samurai Wallet developers and the pardon that did not come, unfortunately. We'll also talk a little bit about Silver and the seething Bitcoiners. The Bitcoin maxis are not happy with precious metals rallying, which I find to be pretty ironic. So our leadoff story today is about Samurai Wallet. The developers are currently in jail. They've been in jail now for the past 10 or so days. And, you know, down the wire, if you recall, in the last episode, we had talked about Trump saying that he would look into the case. He was having a press conference, and he was actually asked about the Samurai Wallet case and if he was considering a pardon. And he said, Rodriguez, Pam, we'll look into it. Pam Bondi, the attorney general. And, you know, that day, for what it's worth, was a great day. We had that SEC roundtable discussion, which was actually very good. I encourage people to check it out, where the SEC is hosting this conversation that's happening. And there are ideas being talked about that are based, that are very pro-privacy. So coming out of that, we then have Trump saying, hey, we'll look into the pardon. Lot of momentum. And unfortunately, the momentum has stalled. We're kind of left saying, you know, what's going on here? Why hasn't there been an update? Similar to how the Blanche memo was released earlier this year, saying that, you know, we're not going after cryptocurrency software developers. Just like that, it is the words of the government versus their actions. And, I mean, there's still time. It could still happen down the line. But currently, Keone Rodriguez and William Hill are in prison. So am I surprised? No, not at all. I was hopeful because, you know, I think you would be a pretty bad person not to be hopeful, you know, but the realistic, you know, storyline happened, right? I am still hopeful and optimistic that they will get a pardon, maybe end of the year even, but I'll be honest here, it's not looking good. I mean, consider this is like the most pro-cryptocurrency administration you could ask for. And we're still not even making any progress with privacy rights. That should tell you something. And I gotta say too, so prior to December 19th, which was the day Keone Rodriguez had to report to prison, he was on so many different podcasts. Some of these podcasts are great, but some of these podcasts, a lot of the time, their content, you know, outside of this interview, is just straight up Moon Boy garbage. And it's kind of like, why are they even having this interview other than to virtue signal? Now, I don't know, like, I don't have like a list of all the different podcasts you were on. Maybe most of them were great, but I did see a couple tweets, and I looked into their profiles on Twitter, and I was kind of like, eh, you know? And, you know, I have to be honest with you, watching Keone Rodriguez go on these shows, it felt like a humiliation ritual, you know? It was just like, ugh, He's got to talk to these guys. Now, I'm sure he was grateful for it. I'm not saying that he wasn't grateful. But it sucks, though, when you see someone who was... Now, I didn't know him personally, but like I saw him on Twitter. Someone who was like so passionate, had that cypherpunk spirit. And you could tell like in these interviews, like he's obviously very upset. I can't even imagine. And so he did his work. He went on all these podcasts, and it may have an impact. He may get pardoned, you know. But then there's that other part of me that like looks at it, and it's like some of these podcasts, man, I highly doubt they even care a little bit about privacy. You know what I mean? Or you know, like their views of any sort of principles are masked by moon boyism and number go up. That's really what they care about. So what I'm trying to say is it just comes off as virtue signaling. And hopefully some of these, you know, podcasters that don't have their ear to the ground regarding privacy, maybe they'll start paying attention. Maybe they'll start talking about other privacy projects like Tornado Cash. Because like, how many of these Bitcoin podcasts cared about Tornado Cash? You know what I mean? I'm not going to even bother looking into it, but I'm guessing it's mostly none of them. Like, the thing is, there's a war on privacy right now across the board, right? We're being attacked with end-to-end encryption, digital ID, and financial transactions. Complete war on privacy. There's more stuff too, right? Maybe they do care. Maybe they just don't look into it as much as some autist like me. But if there's one thing though, it's I really hope they care when other projects, cryptocurrency projects, also have to fight this. Because this is a war across the board. And, you know, I just see some of these podcasters and all they do is like talk about Michael Saylor and it's like, okay. Now shifting gears here, Lola Leetz. So she had this tweet where one of the judges of the Southern District of New York, a senior judge, he put out this think piece about cryptocurrency. And like basically in this think piece, you know, he's talking about how cryptocurrencies, he says, quote, cryptocurrency has... though to a remarkable extent achieved its goal of being comparatively free of serious government regulation, and as a result, it has often become a vehicle for fraud and criminality. An examination by the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists, the New York Times, and other news organizations found that at least $28 billion tied to illicit activity has flowed into crypto exchanges over the last 2 years. And so that was from the piece, and Lola Leetz says that... you know, it's crazy that he's openly communicating his personal bias against an entire industry. And what's more, he directly references the Samurai Wallet sentencing, claiming that the developers were sentenced for facilitating more than $200 million in money laundering. Except that's not what they were sentenced for. The money laundering charge was dropped in exchange for a guilty plea to unlicensed money transmission. And it's kind of like, yeah. Like, this is just a mask-off moment where you have a judge basically saying, like, yeah, we're going to throw him in jail. Okay, we're going to win. What's the percentage of convictions they have? Like, I think it's like 98%. They're totally going to win the case. So they offered a plea deal, and they get 5 years, and it's like, okay, we'll agree to this one, but we'll just say it's for everything. And the only people who are going to call us out are these fringe privacy advocates, you know, these fact checkers. Let them call us out. Who cares? And, you know, gotta be honest with you, it's not that surprising. That leads me to a point that I made on Twitter. Some people thought I was trolling, but it's that privacy is for criminals. And this is like a reframing that I encourage people to do. But like, if you really think about it, the state hates people who want privacy. And they view us as criminals, but they can't say that. They can't vocalize it. But like, if you look at what they're doing, every step of the way, they're coming after our privacy and our privacy rights. And we have to fight them every step of the way. So if we just say privacy is for criminals, that's actually the black pill, because that's what's happening. Now, on the flip side, I see this phrase, you know, privacy is for everyone. And it's kind of like, that is the hippie, like, yeah, man, world peace, man. That's that mindset. I agree with the concept of it, obviously, but that's not how the real world actually works. And I think more people should look at privacy and the war on privacy in this like black-pilled, realistic manner. Because having this like, you know, come on guys, privacy is normal. Like that mindset, it's not doing us any favors. I guess from an optics perspective, it makes more sense, sure. But I encourage people to really reframe how you view the state and how they're attacking privacy. Because a lot of things will make a lot more sense if you do. So yeah, that last little section I did here talking about privacy is for criminals, that's actually going to be in my Monero Topia presentation. Give you a little preview. I mean, the presentation that I'm doing is mostly stuff I've talked about, but it's titled The Aura of Darknet Adoption, which I think is very important to talk about. You know, for the Monero Moon Boys, this is actually one of the things that draws them to Monero, is the fact that it is so powerful that criminals are using it. And this is actually a propaganda tool to convince people that Monero works, right? So I have a presentation on that. I haven't actually made the slides, but it's pretty much all in my head at this point. That's coming up in, oh man, that's coming up soon. Gotta buy my ticket and shit. And I gotta drop like fucking 15 pounds, man. Damn. I'm fucking fat right now. I gotta hit the gym, man. Damn. Basically, this is what happened. I was doing decently, and then there was my trip in November, and then just off a cliff. I stopped caring. And yeah, after Christmas, I was like, okay, we got buckled down here. For some reason, I thought it was in March. I thought I had like an extra couple weeks. But all right, whatever. Monerotopia. I'm excited because, you know, there's going to be a lot of cool people there. And yeah, I don't even know. You know what I mean? Like, I've been to Monerotopia before, but this time I'm going and like a lot of people know my shit, basically. So it's kind of cool. So I'm excited though. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I will be on one of Doug's shows in January, I think, talking about stuff. He books me like once a quarter. I get a Doug DM, hey, you want to come on? It's like, of course, you know. So I'll do that. That should be fun. And I do want to do like other interviews, but as of this point, there's not a lot of interest in having me on. So I don't know. If you do have a podcast and you want me on, let me know. I would definitely be interested. But other than that, we're just continuing trucking with anti-Moonboy news and hopefully some videos, other videos, like help videos as well. I've been super lazy with that, but I got to start getting back on the grind. You know what I mean? All right, let's move on to some other news items. And let's start with this one. Silver. I've talked about precious metals and my fondness of precious metals repeatedly on the show, but basically, I think precious metals are dope. And I think that with cryptocurrency, we're trying to replicate the fundamentals of why gold and silver are based. Okay? We're trying to replicate that. The mining, it needs to be egalitarian. Spread around the world, right? Like, you could, there's different deposits everywhere. You have to raise capital to, you know, mine, and you have to go at a loss and invest, and it's very capitalistic, right? So there's that aspect of it. There's the fact that it's fungible, right? Perfectly fungible. There's a finite amount, although there's a smooth inflation every year, very low inflation, but there's still only a certain amount in circulation. And yeah, you can't just forge it, right? So, you know, for Monero to succeed, we want it to be like digital gold. That is actually one of the best ways to think of cryptocurrency. Now, what's funny though, so silver, silver's pumping really hard. I'll get to why in a second. But what's hilarious is the seething I am seeing from the laser eyes right now is just chef's kiss. Are you guys seeing this? They're fucking pissed. They're pissed because Bitcoin this year has had a rough year. Things are not looking good right now. We're also going to talk about Saylor in a second too, but he's not buying Bitcoin right now. Things are looking murky. The crypto administration sucks. And to top it all off, the precious metals boomers are getting these sick gains and Bitcoin is just kind of chopping. It's pretty funny, actually. But I have to say, if you are a Bitcoiner and you don't have respect for gold, or not even silver, but gold especially, like, what is wrong with you? like they're very complementary assets. I just do not understand that at all. Well, I do understand it. It's moonboyism, but like if you were LARPing as someone who cares about like libertarianism, you gotta love precious metals. It is our one of the ways that we fight back against fiat. This concept of just creating money out of thin air, it's crazy. It's absolutely insane. It just is a vicious cycle of more and more debt. It never ends. It just gets worse. So not putting respect on gold or silver, like, that's just crazy. What's concerning for me, though, is generally speaking, when precious metals boom, it's indicative of something bad happening, especially silver. If you look at the time silver is pumped, it's like 1979, 2000, what was it, 10, 11? I forget what year it was. For the 2008 financial crisis. Now it's pumping again, all-time highs. Pretty crazy. Yeah, when silver spiked in like 1979, that's actually the last all-time high. It was like in 1980 or something. And we just passed that now, which is crazy to think about. But basically, it was a precursor to the stagflation that followed. So anyways, when precious metals pump, oftentimes there's some sort of economic crisis. So I don't know, guys, it could get ugly out there. Obviously, I hope not. And if it does get ugly, that means we're going to pump even more, right? Because everything is pumping because inflation, right? So not a good situation, but I do highly recommend, again, people to at least check out precious metals. I'm not telling you to buy the top or anything, but at least just have some respect for them. You know what I mean? It will be interesting to watch silver, though. So basically, to give you the kind of the short answer for what is happening with silver, it's following the Shanghai price. Basically, China buys a lot of silver, and they're like $8 ahead of what silver's priced at over here. So our price is slowly following it. The silver price is actually based off of futures contracts, and this is the conspiracy is that silver is actually suppressed buy these futures contracts that never actually happen. It's a crazy thing called COMEX. It's a total scam. And I mean, maybe it's going to keep on going up. I have no idea. I have an appreciation for like the precious metals boomers on YouTube. There's this one guy. Oh, you know, actually, this one guy, the name of his channel is Arcadia Economics. Have you guys seen this? Do you know who he reminds me of? He is basically the silver bug version of Doug. It's like the same personality, super friendly, very positive, cares about the fundamentals, but you could tell he wants that price to go up, you know? Oh, man. He's it's like the same type of vibe. So if you like Monerotopia, check out that channel, I guess. But I like the precious metals channels because it's like so corny and like it really is like exactly like cryptocurrency, but like the average age of the people are like in their 50s and 60s. It's pretty funny. But of course, like the crypto guys have been dabbing on precious metals for years now, right? And maybe it's switching now. That'd be pretty funny if Peter Schiff goes on like some sort of victory tour. Think they'll invite him back to the Bitcoin conference? can you imagine if Bitcoin just tanks and gold just keeps chopping up? Do you think he's gonna get an invite? Schiff is just gonna, he's gonna show up. That's what he's gonna do. He'll just show up. Just make fun of everybody. Oh, man. Yeah, so anyways, the whole... It's just crazy to me that you can really like Bitcoin and like what it stands for and not like gold. That's crazy to me. If you are interested in precious metals, definitely buy physical. You can look into that on your own time. All right, next up, Michael Saylor announces through strategy an increase of their USD reserve. We talked about this one recently, how now Strategy, formerly known as MicroStrategy, they are not buying Bitcoin anymore. Instead, they're getting dollars. And they started like a month ago, and now they're adding to the pile. They have increased their USD reserve by $748 million and now hold $219 billion. And yeah, why would they be doing that? Very interesting. You know, it's the Ponzi is starting to crumble. And I have a feeling 2026 is going to be a bad year for Saylor. But you know what? Maybe this will all pay off. And maybe Strike and Strife. Maybe it'll pay off. But who knows? Maybe he will be the owner of the largest crypto bank in the world. And we will all worship Michael Saylor. And I'll have to walk back all my criticisms of him. Ah, man. I'd kill myself. I'd just fucking... just blow my brains out if that happened. Nah, I'm kidding. The funny thing is, like, crazier things have happened. And people are stupid. And Bitcoin, maybe it is going to have a super cycle. You know, this is why, like, it's hard to, like, talk about price stuff because, like, I'm terrible at it, one. But two, most people are terrible at it as well. And you have, like, some experts and stuff, and I get it. Like, there's charts, and, like, people can really do analysis and stuff. But I just, like, you know, focus on good, wholesome investing. I just want to play with my boomer rocks, okay? I want to clink them around. You know, that's all I want. Nice little cozy house. I don't need the luxury, man. You know what I mean? I don't need that crap. You know? Yeah, I imagine they're going to keep increasing their USD reserve because it's going to get harder and harder to make these payments. When do they have to sell their Bitcoin is the thing. Because if Bitcoin drops, 20%, I think they'd have to start selling. And for what it's worth, they, you know, if you remember in their last press release, they had predicted that in December, Bitcoin would be at $150,000. They lowered that to between $88,000 and $115,000. And right now, Bitcoin's at $87,000. So, they're... original projection is they're nowhere near that. And now they're actually failing their conservative projection. And if you go back and watch their presentations, they're projecting Bitcoin to be way, way higher. And everything is built on those promises. I'm telling you, people are going to get wrecked on this one. But when you have really easy to access money, this is what it breeds, right? Degenerate fucking speculative gambling. All right, let's move on. the market structure bill. Oh, this is fucking boring. I don't want to talk about this. But yeah, basically, the government right now, they're working on a market structure bill. And it typically, this is mostly about stable coins and stuff. And so there's a 50% chance it'll pass in 2026 from what I see. But I don't know, man. I haven't really looked too much into it, but when I did, the article I did read basically said that the main sticking point was stable coin yield and stuff. So next up, under UK legislation, anyone developing end-to-end encryption is now labeled as a hostile actor. Who did I see tweet? I think, was it Fluffy Pony tweeted this? Yeah. Something like that. Basically, it says, quote, since hostile activity does not require any knowledge or tasking by a foreign state, the phenomenon of double ignorance could arise. A person may be engaged in hostile activity if they do something which, unknown to them, threatens national security and which is the interests of another state, also entirely in the dark. For example, one, the developer of an app whose selling point is end-to-end encryption, which would make it more difficult for UK security intelligence operations, or agencies, excuse me, to monitor communications. It is a reasonable assumption that this would be in the interest of a foreign state, even if the foreign state has never contemplated the potential advantage, or this potential advantage. I'm telling you, think about the UK. Here's at least what I respect about the UK. They're at least open about being pieces of shit, right? A lot of these other governments kind of string you along, you know, but they're just fucking these past couple of years. I think they have that censorship bill too, where if you say bad words on Twitter, you'll get thrown in jail. It's fucking loony over there, man. I mean, damn. So, whatever. They're pieces of shit. That's just insane to me. Next up, Hyper Wagyu. This is a trustless Hyperliquid to Monero bridge that was introduced. I haven't really looked into this. Apparently, it could rug, so I don't trust this for what it's worth. So there's that. But yeah, this is interesting though, nonetheless, because it's through Hyperliquid, and so people have off ramps into Monero. It's kind of funny, and I'm not making this up. I'm such a crypto boomer. I genuinely have no idea what Hyperliquid is. Okay. I have absolutely no idea. I've never used it, but my assumption is it's some sort of decentralized exchange or something, but it has a cryptocurrency as well or something. As you can tell, I've done no research on this because I don't care. But what is cool, though, is there's like other off-ramps for these fucking degenerates using Hyperliquid. So that's nice, at least. You know, you can put your gains in Monero and, you know, enjoy that. Next up, Rito Swap is now on Android. I haven't used it yet, but basically you can use Rito Swap on Android. How based is that? Shout out to the Rito Swap team. All right, so now we got some Monero Research Lab news to get to. The first and most importantly, a consensus was reached in full chain membership proof scaling. This has been a topic of discussion over the past several episodes where basically developers are considering putting on a sanity cap. Reason being is that if blocks were to grow too big, then Monero would die. So they had another debate on this and they reached a consensus, and the consensus does not have any sanity cap. So they got rid of the caps, and basically it's very technical, but they're going to allow blocks to grow with aggressive transaction usage to the point where it would take 2 to 3 years for Monero to die. Okay. So basically that's what it is. The idea here is if we were to see a major expansion, all hands on deck would go to figure out ways of helping the scaling and figuring out, you know, how to make things smaller, how to get the code more up to date, etc. Because that's the other thing too. The actual code for Monero is outdated. It's been sitting around for a while. It needs cleanup. There's a lot of technical debt, basically. So that's also going to be worked on. And the idea here, again, we have some time if something were to happen. So yeah, I mean, I think this is a good step in the right direction. I agree with it. And I think it satisfies both parties here. It is still kind of scary, though, that Monero can be spam attacked, right? So I don't have the exact figures, but like, this would allow us to grow beyond Bitcoin size and still be okay. And I think like that's like already excessive. I don't see Monero getting that big anytime soon. And as long as like the spam penalty is difficult, you know, I think we'll be okay. But this is a nice fix, a short-term fix, I guess, because it's only 2 to 3 years until chaos, potentially. But the potential is very low. The second thing, the stress test net highlights some issues. There was, it says here, I'm using the Monero Research Lab on Twitter, the unofficial account. It says the discussion on the full chain membership proof alpha stress net highlighted a few full chain membership proof specific issues, with most problems stemming from Monero rod, including the not relayed state, potentially ignorable amid spam, also seg faults, and elevated orphan rates due to delayed block notifications lasting 5 to 10 seconds on large blocks. The upcoming version 1.5 will bring improvements to handle transaction pool overflows, fixing version 1.4's breakage in such scenarios, and the two do exist to address address verification delays from high input transactions. So there you go, the stress test net doing some good things. Good to hear. And lastly, the MRL team confirmed the new spy node IP ranges have been active for a week. So basically, I brought this up where the spy nodes disappeared. Now it's confirmed that they just changed their IP ranges. So the MRL team confirmed that the spy nodes are still there, and they proposed updating and publicizing the new MRL ban list with inline comments for versioning and range descriptions, discussed integrating it with the DNS ban list, and addressed compatibility concerns for older daemons, including that updates are worthwhile. And Justin Berman adds, I think it's okay that the ban list doesn't work on older daemons. The recent updates have been important. More people updating is good. So there you go. Lots of good stuff happening in the MRL. One other big Monero story, the Free Software Foundation, received a historic private donation. It was in Monero. They announced it received two major contributions totaling around $900,000. These extraordinary donations both made it to the FSF, and the cryptocurrency Monero are among the largest private gifts ever made to the organization. The donors wish to remain anonymous. So, you love to see it. Hey, we have Monero, we donate, we use Monero. These other projects, they're not even close to us. And Monero is adopted. And that's great to see. The Free Software Foundation is fantastic. All right, so that's the news for this week. And I wanted to shift to a different topic now and discuss kind of a theme that anybody who likes cryptocurrency deals with. And that is the absolutely putrid reputation that cryptocurrency has. Totally deserved, by the way. Completely deserved. There are so many scams. Many people who have entered cryptocurrency have gotten pump and dumped, lost money, or threw money at some project and watched it go up and maybe down and up in the future, but it's a reputation of, you know, speculative hype and everything that we hate here at Anti-Moonboy. Now, a smaller niche is, you know, the nerds who actually make and build stuff. And I think a lot of people find, you know, that type of culture, you know, obviously nerdy and stuff, but it actually has a much better reputation in that you're actually doing something with your time, building something. You know, it's kind of funny, actually, when I'm asked about cryptocurrency, because, you know, my family knows about me being interested in Monero and stuff. And I just keep it really technical, right? I just say, oh, yeah, you know, I run a node, I do some mining, I like to spend it. I tell them I, you know, buy my plane tickets with Monero. And they're like, whoa, interesting. Like, but it's, and I tell my friends that as well. And it, there's some respect there, right? It's kind of, it's definitely different than if you are telling someone, yeah, this is going to be the next big thing, right? And so what I'm trying to get at here is how we can work out of this mindset, this public perception of cryptocurrency means scam. And how we can do that is by leading by example. And that means using cryptocurrency. Actually using it and strengthening it as well. And downplaying price discussion. Of course, you know, if you do have an interest in the value going up, that's completely fine. It is a use case. But that shouldn't be the only thing you talk about. If that's the only thing you talk about, you are fueling this perception that's very negative. And so this is why I am such a proponent of this phrase, use Monero. I love it. And it's what really actually separates Monero from a lot of other projects. One thing that separates Monero from other projects is it's used by criminals. Yeah, the other day I heard a company suffered a ransomware attack, and they had all these files stolen, and they had to pay Monero to get them back. Tell that to one of your friends who maybe is skeptical of cryptocurrency. And obviously their perception of cryptocurrency will still be negative, but they'll get this shift in perception towards Monero, where it's like, okay, I thought this was a speculative nonsense thing. I thought this was a nerdy hobby that you have. Oh, this is actually something being used in high stakes environments, right? In environments where people are facing considerable jail time. And that is part of the aura of Dark Knight adoption, and it's part of why it's such a powerful propaganda tool as well. Now, I'm not saying to go around and tell people, oh, Minerva's used on the Darknet, but it's just another kind of example of how, because Monero is used, it propels itself forward ahead of other cryptocurrencies. So, for example, the whole Zcash pump happening right now, we all know that this is just speculative hype and that people aren't actually using Zcash. The transaction data says it. After this price pump, nothing has changed. It's all moon boys jumping in, and they're going to be generational backholders. Okay? It's going to be ugly. Because what's fueling the price increase? It's just speculative hype. So what's going to fuel their bear market? Exactly. Kind of the same thing. So during a bear market, what keeps Zcash going forward? Well, you have people who are working for this company, and you have bag holders who want the number to go back up. During a bear market, what keeps Monero going? Well, you have people passionate working on the project, and you also have people who use it every day. And that's a key difference here. Other projects that have status are also used during bear markets, like Bitcoin, Ethereum, right? But you think people are going to be using, Dogecoin? They don't use Dogecoin. They just buy it and hold it because Elon Musk. So again, to get out of this bad reputation of cryptocurrency, we just have to use cryptocurrency. But then you might be saying, hold on, you're talking about like darknet markets. We're going to have a bad reputation because of that, right? And yes, we will. But here's the thing. We're going to have that reputation regardless. Okay? People, like, the way cryptocurrency is looked at is, like many other things, is a very black and white thing. It's either you're on this side or on that side. And so people who are on the other side, they just view us all as libertarian assholes. They kind of got a point there. but rich, or privileged, I should say, or like these finance bros, scam artists, but also, oh, it's used by criminals, it should be illegal, those kinds of people. And they're going to hate us no matter what. So again, to kind of get through to those types of people, you just use your cryptocurrency. Yes, I understand Monero is used on darknet markets. That's just kind of proof that it works. See, I just bought my plane tickets in Monero and for my trip to Mexico City, paid entirely in cryptocurrency. And by telling them that, yeah, I know that exists, but I'm doing this instead, it kind of signals to them that there's just a lot of different types of people using cryptocurrency. And you can obviously give other examples as well. You can talk about things you've sold in that cryptocurrency, things, etc. But by emphasizing that usage, it like at least will plant a seed as to like, maybe this is more than just people trying to get rich. And that's just a very important thing, I think. So lead by example is the purpose of this talk. And you can subtly hype up Monero's reputation, being used by criminals. That gives it some aura, as I will talk about in my presentation. But for, other people that might view that very negatively, you can tell them, oh, well, I used Monero for this, this, and this. And they will be like, that's interesting. And then you can also get into the privacy of it. Well, I'm a privacy advocate. And, people are very actually interested in privacy. They just don't know how it works. So you can talk about open source software and stuff. And this is all like really nerdy BS. But, if you're talking to somebody else who's like nerdy, this is a great opportunity for you to like get through that reputation. Because like there's a lot of nerds out there who view Monero and other cryptocurrencies as just scams. They throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's unfortunate, but that's where we are. So anyways, that's what I wanted to get through here, that the scammy reputation of cryptocurrency in the long run should go down. Because I think we've kind of gotten through this run where people are getting rich very quickly off of crypto. These bull runs are becoming less and less interesting. So anyways, that's what I wanted to talk about. I guess I should have did this monologue before the holidays, where you get your family members asking you about crypto. But again, what the average cryptocurrency person will do in a conversation about cryptocurrency will be like talking about the price. And you're a genius during a bull run, but you look like a fucking retard during a bear market, right? Or you're not talking about crypto anymore, and then those people are like, oh, hey, how's that thing doing? Like, oh, yeah, it's not doing too great right now, you know. But if you've always had this idealism, then you can't lose. So that's really my major point here, is that with idealism, which in our case is the liberty, right, the privacy, and the using of peer-to-peer cash, you really can't lose. I mean, you can lose if you like invest a lot of money in Monero and the project goes to zero. True. But if you're at least rational with your investments and have this mentality, even if Monero goes to zero, you'll just move on to the next project, which is exactly what I would do. Or I would try to salvage Monero or something with other people. Depends on the circumstance, I suppose. So that's what I wanted to talk about. Let's go to the super chats. xmrchat.com/Xenu if you'd like to participate. We got two this week. The first one is from Moongaloid, who gives 0.02 XMR. Thank you, Moongaloid. It looks like he has an update for us after his last comment. He says, I bought Zcash on Coinbase to get my wife back. Since then, Chad XMR has moved in with us, and she's now cosplaying as MoneroChan 24/7. Talks about full chain membership proofs nonstop. Should I Zuko Max and post 10 things I like about her on X so she doesn't ditch me? Well, there you go. I'm sure there'll be more updates from Moongaloid there. Yeah, dude, you know, it's actually kind of crazy, the whole, like, Zuko posting 10 things. So if you're not aware, that's a reference to when Binance was considering dropping Zcash. Zuko actually went on Twitter and he posted a Twitter thread of, like, the 10 things I like best about Binance. Like, dude, it's just like, damn, man. That you can't get any more cringe than that when it comes to like calling yourself a cypherpunk, you know, simping for a centralized exchange, especially a scammy one like Binance, bro. So yeah, I mean, I shit on Zuko all the time. I've heard from multiple people, he's like a very nice guy and he's just kind of a weird dude who I don't think is like self-aware, or I mean, I don't know. And something like that, yeah, complete lack of self-awareness there. So anyways, yeah, I think you should Zuko Max. That sounds like a great idea. You should Zuko Max. And yeah, maybe you should start taking some estrogen as well. All right, I'm gonna stop there. We're not doing this. All right, the next XMR chat is from Daedalus, who gives 0.1 XMR. Wow, thank you so much, Daedalus. You're the man. And he says, Merry Christmas, Xenu. Merry Christmas, Daedalus, and Merry Christmas to all my listeners. That is very kind of you, Daedalus. Thank you. Yeah, I hope you guys all had a good Christmas. We had a great Christmas here at Xenu House. Robot got the hair dryer he wanted. Isn't that right, Robot?
Beep boop. Its ceramic coating helps reduce damage over styling with even heat distribution, making styling fast and easy. Beep boop.
I'm not even sure why you wanted a hair dryer anyways. You know, considering you don't have hair.
Beep boop. Did you like the gift I gave you? Beep boop.
Oh, you bet I did, buddy. The Sears catalog from our newspaper showing the best holiday deals that are still available. It was real thoughtful of you.
Beep boop. I also circled all of the appliances that I would like you to purchase. Beep boop.
Yeah, but you circled literally everything. Anyway, thank you guys again. It's been a great 2025, and the next episode will be the first episode of 2026. And for next week, we will be having the annual Moon Boy of the Year award given out. The award given to the biggest piece of shit in cryptocurrency. Will Dennis Porter hold the belt? Well, you'll have to tune in to find out. I'm going to be taking off now. XMRChat.com/Xenu if you'd like to send a super chat. AntiMoonBoy.com. Make sure to subscribe. I always forget that. You subscribe, like this stuff. It does help the channel continue to grow. And I'll see you guys next time. Enjoy this song by Actress.
Beep boop. Did you like the gift I gave you? Beep boop.
You know, I really did. I sure did, buddy. The Sears catalog from our newspaper.